Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 19, "The Lord God is my strength." Now these words were written over 27 centuries ago, and it was not the first time such a confession as that had been made. David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, many other of the holy men of God since creation recognized that truth. And we need to recognize it also. Every nation would do well to realize that it is strong to the extent that that nation looks to and leans on God. One need of mankind is someone strong on whom they can depend. Children lean on the strength of their parents. We are the children of God, and we lean on our Heavenly Father. Almighty God has supplied mankind what is needed. In and of himself, man is incapable of living successfully. And even though some have tried, and some have even thought that they have succeeded in living life without God, people fail to realize that life itself is from God. And whether one succeeds in life or not, it's not determined how he fares in this temporary life on earth, physical and material prosperity, but how he will fare in the judgment and in eternity. Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." But man can and should trust in the strength and in the power of the Almighty God. Now, God expects many things of his creatures, but he never expects or requires that which is beyond man with God's help, nor does he expect what is unreasonable. God has seen fit to provide mankind with evidences of his power that sustain man's trust. He has shown his strength in many ways. We read of the creation and many other miraculous deeds, the power of his word to convert people from what they were into what they should be. They are the laws of nature in the operation which God set in motion that demonstrate his power. He shows his ability through his providence. Now we want to consider the manifestation of the power of God as shown through various victories enjoyed by Israel over their enemies. These things are recorded for us, for the most part, in the Old Testament. These events show God's strength, and it shows man's weakness and man's dependence upon God. Hopefully this knowledge will motivate us to be more confident as we place our trust in God and as we live our lives before him. Now I want us to consider the account of Israel leaving Pharaoh's slavery. At the completion of the 10th plague, and that was the death of the firstborn throughout Egypt, Israel marched toward the Red Sea. And soon Pharaoh and Egypt recovered from the immediate impact of that plague, and they pursued Israel to either recapture them or to destroy them. Either way, Israel was in danger. Israel, of course, fresh from captivity, was not equipped for war, and they were helpless before the powers of the Egyptian enemy. There were mountains on either side of them. There was the Red Sea in front of them, and there was Pharaoh coming behind them. How could they escape? Well, they couldn't rely upon their own power because they did not have such power. But by the power of God in opening the sea, they were spared. Walls of water stood on either side as they passed over on dry land. A wall of fire stood between them and their foes until they were safely across the sea and over onto the other side. And that victory provoked a gigantic celebration among the people. But such could never have taken place except for the power of God. That's the point we want to make in this lesson. Alone, they would have been annihilated. Not only was that nation, but all nations are indebted to the strength of God because of that event, because Israel was spared, and it was through Israel that Christ came. Well, 40 years after crossing the Red Sea, there was another crossing of water, and this time it was the crossing of the Jordan River, which was even at flood stage. But once across, there was another victory awaiting Israel because of the power of God. There was the taking of the city of Jericho, and that city was walled, and it was fortified. Israel's strength was not in her armies, which she didn't have much of an army to begin with, but their strength was in faith in God. And as the prophet had said, "The Lord God is my strength." Now, a strange battle plan it was that was delivered to Joshua how he would take the city of Jericho. Israel was to march around the walls of the city one time each day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day. Then they were to blow their trumpets and shout. And when they obeyed what God instructed them to do, the walls fell and the city was exposed. It became an easy prey for Israel. Well, obviously, Israel could not have captured the city without God's power. And even though what they did was essential, friend, their obedience was not the power that took the city, but only gave them the benefit of God's power. This was simply another manifestation of the strength and the power of Almighty God, and it's the same God whom we worship today. In the process of conquering Canaan, there were many victories when God's power was the difference between victory and defeat for Israel. On one occasion, when Joshua defeated 5 kings while defending the city of Gibeon, even though the Gibeonites had deceived Joshua, Joshua had made the mistake of making a covenant with them that he would protect the city if they were attacked. Well, the other Canaanite cities did attack them because they became aroused against Gibeon because of their alliance with Israel, and they threatened Gibeon. And when Gibeon sent word to Joshua, Joshua lived up to his promise, and he kept his covenant, and he and his army quickly came to their aid. And in the battle that followed, there were 2 expressions of God's power that were evident. One was the enemy fled in panic, and the other, more of the enemy was killed by hailstones than from the swords of Israel. Well, this was simply another display of God's power when God slowed down the sun, which is spoken of as the sun standing still, giving Joshua almost a full day longer in which to carry out the fight. Friend, because of God, not because of Joshua, not because of his army, but because of God, the victory was won. And again, when the Israelites fought against the 2 Amorite kings, victory belonged to Israel, but it was because of God's strength. In Joshua chapter 24, "And I have sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the 2 kings of the Amorites, not by thy sword, nor by thy bow." God sent hornets into the midst of the Amorites. And being occupied with the fighting of the hornets, the Amorites were no match for Israel, and they fled in defeat. And this was another manifestation of God's power, a strange victory to be sure, but victory was accomplished by the power of God. And nearly 200 years after entering the land of Canaan, Israel found themselves once in the servitude to the Mennonites right in their own homeland, and this was because of their failure to be faithful to God. But in their oppression they cried unto God, and God sent a deliverer to them, and that man's name was Gideon. Gideon sent forth a call to arms, and 32,000 men volunteered to fight with Gideon. In Judges chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So God instructed Gideon to allow all those who wished to return home, and they could, and 22,000 of them did return home. Well, that still left Gideon with 10,000. But God told Gideon that there were still too many, and he gave directions for a test to be made to determine who would return and who would stay. And the test involved how the people would drink water from the stream. And all but 300 men were sent home. Well, what could 300 men do against the Midianites, whose number was like that of the locusts, having camels without number, more than the sands of the seashore? But the whole matter was arranged by God rather than man. Israel was more than equal to the task before them, but only because of the strength and the power of God. The Midianites were encircled at night by the 300 men, and at a given signal the men broke pitchers containing lighted torches, blew their trumpets and shouted, and the Midianites were thrown into disarray, thinking that they were surrounded by the powerful host of men, and they began to strike out against each other in their confusion, killing, wounding, destroying themselves. And those who could, they fled. And once again the power of God had vanished the enemies of his people. Well, there's no question as to whom the credit for that victory belonged. Well, friend, what lessons do we learn? There are several that we need to learn, but we want to emphasize this. We realize these victories were due to the power of God. And we also cannot fail to see how people had to cooperate with God's directions. God expects man to follow where he leads. The benefits of God's strength were enjoyed when man realized he needed God, and he would obey God. You see, Israel had to march into the Red Sea. Had they not done so, they could not have utilized the power of God. Joshua had to circle the city of Jericho and enter into the fray, just as did Gideon. And we learn that our God is a God of strength and power, but let us not think that God supplies his power to us regardless of our attitude and our response to his will. God's power and man's duty, they were both present in all of these events that we have mentioned. And in the New Testament, we have a statement from the Apostle Paul. He said, I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Paul would have been inaccurate to have said he could do all things, but he didn't say that. He said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. He revealed a true understanding of strength and of power. Friend, God has been and still is the source of power in every age. Christians today can say with the Israelites of old, the Lord God is my strength. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.